The reading today will come from Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, so let's open our Bibles and read and meditate upon these words, and then we're going to discuss them together. Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 1, says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit." These Christians that we're reading about had not grown in their Christianity. As a matter of fact, he gets on to these people in chapter 5, verse 12, when he tells them that they've had time enough to grow to become teachers of the Word of God. But as it turned out, because they had not applied themselves, they needed to be taught again the very basics of Christianity. And so they could have done better, and they ought to have done better. And the reason that they had not grown was because of their attitude and their disinterest. In chapter 5, verse 11, he said that they had many things to say about Jesus, but they were hard to explain because these Jewish Christians that he's writing to had become dull of hearing. So after he reproved them in chapter 5, he now goes on to urge them to move forward in their understanding. So let's look at verse 1 beginning and talk about how that we as Christians are to move on and go forward in our understanding of the gospel. He says, "Therefore," which is a common word in the book of Hebrews, and oftentimes as a chapter begins in the book of Hebrews, you will see either the word "therefore" or "wherefore." And this just means that we need to remember what has been said in the previous chapter, because the chapter that we're looking at that begins is building upon what has just been said. So after he rebukes these people for not growing in the faith, he now says in chapter 6, verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." Now, when he talks about the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he's talking about the same thing that he mentioned in chapter 5, verse 12, the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, remember that that's what he refers to as milk, the milk of the Word as opposed to the meat of the Word. Literally, here in chapter 6, verse 1, when he talks about the principles of the doctrine of Christ, that is the beginning of the Word of Christ in the Greek. So what he's talking about are the basics, the fundamentals of the gospel. And what does he say about these fundamentals? He says to leave them and to go on to perfection. Now, by the word perfection here, he's not talking about heaven. Even though we are going toward heaven, that's not what he means here by perfection. When he says to go on to perfection, he's talking about going on to maturity. Remember the illustration that he used? He said that we don't need to remain as babies or children in the faith. We need to move on to become adults in the gospel. Well, that's the kind of perfection that he's talking about. He's not talking about sinlessness. He's talking about maturity. He's talking about completion. And he says to leave these fundamentals. And we need to make sure that we understand what he means by leaving these fundamentals here. When he says to leave these basics, he doesn't mean to forget them, to not ever think about them again. Because he's already said in chapter 5, verse 12, that these people needed to be taught these basics again. So he doesn't mean just to leave them so far behind that you even forget what they are. He doesn't mean that we're not to teach these basics and these fundamentals, because again, in chapter 5, verse 12, he says that these people ought to have been teaching these things. He doesn't mean, when he says to leave these things, not to ever study them again, not to meditate on these basics. We do need to go back and review the first principles of the oracles of God. Oftentimes when we do, we'll see things in those first principles that we've never thought about before. We'll have a deeper appreciation of those basics. And we'll see applications of those fundamentals that we've never realized before. Again, a very interesting scripture is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 14, where Peter talks about some of the basics, and he says that even though you know these things, I'm going to continue to remind you of these fundamentals. So when he says to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ, to leave these basic elementary teachings of the gospel, what he means is, don't stay there in your knowledge. Climb higher in your understanding. Grow and increase in your knowledge. Like the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even so here, the Bible says to leave the basics, to build upon them, and then to go on to completion. Remember, in the context here, he said that we as Christians need to go from using the milk to using the meat of the Word. Don't stay on the milk. Grow from children into adults in the church. So lay the foundation with these basics and then build on it so that you don't have to go back and lay the foundation again. Now, look at the word foundation here because that's important. That shows you that he is not dismissing the importance of these basics that he's been talking about and is now going to explain to us. He says these form the very foundation of Christianity. These are the doctrinal truths that form the fundamentals of the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in the verses that follow, we're going to see these basics. He is going to list in detail for us these fundamentals. Now, it's not that he's going to list every single specific doctrinal truth in this foundation. For instance, you'll notice that he does not mention specifically faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Although those are definitely basics, he doesn't specify those here. But the ones that he does specify in this list are definitely in this foundation, and it could be that this is a representation of those basic truths, and it could also be that some of these facts that he mentions here and some of these doctrinal basics involve or imply other truths that are in that foundation that are not specifically mentioned here. But at any rate, these are the foundation that we're to build upon. So what are these basics then that he's been talking about? Well, he begins to list them in verse 1, and here are the doctrinal truths in this foundation of Christianity. Number 1, repentance from dead works. Repentance is a basic Bible doctrine. We can't be saved without repenting. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 30, that the times of this ignorance God has winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. In Luke 13, verse 3, the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So there wouldn't be any need, or at least any benefit, for a person to go any further unless he has repented of his sins. That is absolutely necessary. That is part of the foundation of the Christian life. And he says, repentance from dead works, because the works that we do before we become Christians are useless, they're empty, and those works, of course, being tainted by sin, cause spiritual death. So this is repentance from dead works. Number 2, faith toward God. Now the Jews were already teaching this and had already been taught this and claimed to have faith toward God, but did they really? In the book of James, a book that was evidently written also to Christians with a strong Jewish background, he shows that their faith was not genuine saving faith. He says, for instance, in James 2, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" That was the problem in James chapter 2. And it could also be that he is implying or involving here the fact that as he taught us in chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, Jesus is God, that is, Jesus is deity. So faith toward God is a basic in the foundation of the gospel. Number 3, the doctrine of baptisms. Now, why does he say the doctrine of baptisms instead of the doctrine of baptism? Why the plural here? Well, because in the New Testament we have several baptisms that are mentioned. We have the baptism of suffering that Jesus talked about, that he underwent, and he said his disciples would endure as well, Matthew 20, verses 20 through 24. We have the figurative baptism or immersion of Israel in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2. And I say again, that was a symbolic kind of baptism. We have the baptism of John the Baptist. He baptized in the Jordan River in water for the remission of sins, Mark 1, verse 4, and Matthew 3, verse 11. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. We have the baptism of fire, which is evidently baptism in hellfire in the last day, Matthew 3, 11. And then we have New Testament baptism. The baptism that Jesus talked about in Mark 16, 16, when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So he said that the doctrine of baptisms is one of the fundamentals of the gospel. Then the next one that he mentioned, number 4, is laying on of hands. This is a foundational truth or doctrine. Now in the Bible, sometimes people had hands laid on them because they were being appointed or recommended for a certain work. In Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, we find that they laid hands on them to appoint them or ordain them for the mission that they were about to undertake. But many times in the New Testament, when you read about somebody laying hands on an individual, that was an apostle laying his hands on a Christian to give that Christian a spiritual, miraculous gift, to confer that power to another person. In Acts chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says that Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. In Acts 19, verse 6, Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says that Paul laid hands on Timothy and gave him a spiritual gift. Number 5 in this foundation is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection that will take place in the last day. That's when Jesus said, "All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth." John 5, 28 and 29. So the New Testament takes this Old Testament doctrine about the resurrection of the dead and explains it in far more detail in 1 Corinthians 15 and in other passages. And finally, in this Christian foundation, we have doctrinal truth number 6, eternal judgment. That is the great judgment day, when all will be gathered before the Lord, and every man will be judged according to his deeds. That judgment, the judgment that is handed down in that day, will stand forever. That's why it's called eternal judgment. All this should be as simple and as easy to understand or explain as ABC and 1, 2, 3. It's good to teach and to study the basics, but God wants us to move on in our knowledge. And if the Lord gives us time and opportunity, verse 3 says, this is what we should determine to do.